Thanks, Luke. Thanks, guys. Just a word before I preach this morning. Thank you so much, Ian, for that prayer that you prayed. I really feel for the Tevton family who aren't able to go on this trip. And I was going to get up before and pray for you regarding that verse that Ian read out. All things work together for good. And I really feel there's something good going to come out of this. It mightn't seem like this at the moment, but one of our values is expectation. Just encourage you guys to wait on the Lord or what that might be. Yeah. I wanted to say that because I don't know what it's like for you guys in some of the prayers that we're praying, but I'm thinking, will I get up? Will I pray for the Russian generals to become Christians? And I think, what a big ask. And I think if somebody says ask, and so we're praying. And then Liz said asking, and I thought, I'm going to have to do it now. So there's some good stuff going on with our prayers as we pray. And could I just encourage you to be bold and speak out as we have been doing so as we move forward? Wonderful. Well, we return again to Matthew 10. And it's always the day that I've particularly... This is what your son is doing. You're preparing. You think, there's some people here that I think will be particularly appreciative of this word. Happens that some of them are away today, but never mind, they can listen to it online. It's always the way that happens. But there's also people here today who wouldn't have been here a few weeks ago. I was going to bring this when I was sick 4 or 5 weeks ago. And then, of course, we had Palm Sunday and Easter and following on from there. So this is picking up. It's actually picking up in the middle of a verse. If you're new here or haven't looked before, the verses that are set, I discovered were only done, a few hundred years ago, not that long ago necessarily. And so we're actually going to pick it up in the middle of Matthew 10, halfway through a verse. It isn't sacrilegious. It's not out of context. It arguably could be a verse that should be on its own. But it's important that we pick it up. And so I want to read together from Matthew 10 and reading quite a few verses for me, if you like, from verse 8 through to verse 15. It's actually verse 8b, I guess. As we've covered, going of the disciples, or the little commission, as it were, being sent out, preaching, healing, cleansing, raising, and casting out of demons. But the second part of verse 8 is where I want to start today, picking up from where we left it before. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food. Now, whatever town or city you enter, inquire who in it is worthy and stay there until you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Let's pray. Father God, as we work through and understand what it is that the disciples were called to do, and in turn we are called to do, and the way that we're to go out, help us, Lord, to understand some very clear instructions that you've given us about the way a worthy worker is to be. Help us to be faithful and not to consider that this is something that I couldn't do, that would be beyond me, that would require more faith than I might have. Build, I pray, Lord, our faith and our understanding, our expectation of what you would do through us individually and corporately as a church, as we step into understanding what it is to be worthy workers in your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So I picked up in the middle of the passage because, to my mind anyway, and I'm very interested to see what others think, please let me know, it didn't seem to fit or necessarily be wrapped up in the first part of verse 8 before. Heal the sick, didn't fit. It links the two parts together. And while I want to be looking at the second part today, bear in mind that there is instructions have been given about what it is that we're to say. And today we're going to look at how does a worker go out in order to say and do those things. Just a quick recap. The commission's been given here to go out. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is in verse 7 and 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. And then I want to start, as I said, with freely you have received, freely give. And I want to suggest that we don't do any of this stuff unless we have a love beyond measure. When I say love beyond measure, think of a measure that we make if you're making anything in a kitchen. The measure, often if it's a certain height or a certain stage, when it's filled beyond measure, it will overflow. I think the first qualification that's been spoken about here, which I'll come to shortly, which is not immediately apparent, at least in the English text, is a love beyond measure is needed before we go out. Sandra mentioned about a prayer meeting, just praying for the lost. We've got a list here on the wall, on the whiteboard of prodigals from a number of different backgrounds. We have the prodigals we're praying through, and sometimes we just get called to weeping. It happened again at the prayer meeting Thursday noon. Someone just lost for words and broken down and weeping, considering the lost. And before we see in the passage, called to the lost house of Israel initially, and then flowing on from that, is our heart ones that are broken for the lost necessarily? You wouldn't think that would be hidden in the freely you have received, freely give. But I want to just look at that quickly. I want to look at that shortly rather. And three things I want to suggest: that a worthy worker, which each one of us is and can be, has to have the right preparation, the right provision, and the right place. So firstly, getting before I look at those three things, the word worthy is the word axiom, where we get the word not only statements that are made, but the word axis or pivot. And a worker is worthy when what he or she has done is weighed in the balance. Did it stack up? Did it weigh up? Maybe a better illustration today of something we use a lot more because we don't use scales like this, as you can see, it's a very old set, is think of a hinge and a door. Now, if you've ever been painting a particular building and you've decided to take the hinges off and not tell the person who's coming along behind you, and they go to open the door and it falls down, particularly if it knocks over the pot of paint, it's a minor tragedy, but it's a rather big mess to clean up. Hinges are hardly seen. They're not necessarily something that we think of. Every now and then they make a bit of noise. We give them some oil to stop them squeaking and we get on with it. Think of the hinge, the person or the particular small and often unseen part that decides whether or not a door will open and will it stay open, held often on the hinges. So the word worthy, if we can understand, it's something functional, it's something that's often hidden, but it's something in which something else pivots and is a vital part or a need. And I guess the word axiom here would be applied would be this little part here that we can see. So think of this whole machinery here being witness or mission or the church, and that there is you and I. That's the worthy worker, as it were. So firstly, the right preparation, freely receive, and the word and freely give. This word freely doesn't mean receive as in a passive way. It's actually more like the word take, to take aggressively, to lay hold of, to be hungry for. And when Jesus is saying that, the words don't immediately stand out. He said, I want you to be hungry for this. You will need to be hungry for this if you are going to go out and do what I'm going to tell you to do. Because there's going to be an awful lot of people who are going to want from you hungrily, want from you excessively, want from you extravagantly. So you in turn are going to have to take as much as you possibly can. Now, some people will be listening to this online and you won't see the pictures necessarily, but can I make the point and encouragement to all who are listening that the time we often get refreshed is when we come and meet with others. I had a text from someone this morning who couldn't come, which is a real shame, but that happens understandably. But if we are here and we are regularly in fellowship with others, that's the time that often our tanks get filled up. We hear testimonies, we understand what's going on, we see something is happening. And of course, something is happening, but generally, as a general rule, we see something is happening, something is going on. How is it that I can take of that in order to pass that on? Testimonies are told. I've often said the verse, Revelation 19:12, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It speaks about what can happen prophetically in the future, in a wider context. So as we hear the testimonies, and you're not one who may regularly give testimonies, maybe the prayer we can pray is, Lord, how could it be that I could bring a testimony next week? Because I've heard that, I've taken it on board. I want to take of that freely that I might in turn give. Because that's exactly what the word means. It's to take aggressively. So we see freely you have received, freely give. It means to take aggressive, take assertively. Now, I don't know if you like taking fried chicken. I particularly like fried chicken. Don't get it very often. Fried chicken fans here, someone's shaking their head. Oh, that's no terrible. So forget the health benefits. You don't have to be nice or green or anything. That, do you like it or not? That's all I want to know. There's no judgment. Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, so, right, we probably won't buy it. There is just KFC up the road, by the way. Probably won't buy it. But think about fried chicken. If you're sitting with a group of, particularly if you're watching a game or something, and someone brings one of those packs along, dumps it there, and you sort of know there's one piece each, a drumstick each, or maybe one and a half, etc. If you really like it and you really want it, you're going to err on the side of, I think someone else can have the one, I'm going to have the two. Or you might actually think, I'm going to have the three or the four or the five or even the whole pack, because it's so nice and you want to grab it. Now, I want you to think about fried chicken. Now, we mentioned meatloaf a few weeks ago and we had it this week and it was just amazing. So maybe you want to have some fried chicken at some stage and think about that, forget about the health benefits, because I believe there are some benefits of fried chicken, some health benefits. I haven't found them yet, but I believe there are some. So if you're thinking about fried chicken and want to have it, think about it as you eat it. It's a wonderful thing. And it causes you to want to take more and more of it. I gather KFC, when they went from their two-piece pack to their three-piece pack, it was a simple sell. It really was. Two is never enough. So if you're having fried chicken, or next time you have it, think of this principle. It's something that you want to take because it tastes good, it's warm, it gives you a great feeling, etc., etc. I think you sort of see the analogy. The second part is to freely give after you have taken as much as you can. And could I encourage us all to take as much as we can? Be here. Be to the prayer meetings, be at all the events, the life groups, all the stuff that we're doing, that you can come unashamedly, call upon the leaders, say, I need your time. I want to know what you do in the circumstance. How can I take of that? Because the word to give, in turn, when we're giving it, is the word, it's the Greek word dote. And it's where we get the English word dote from, not surprisingly. So it's a sense of, this is where the love aspect comes in. Well, not the love aspect, this is where true love for the lost comes in. Do we love the lost enough that we will dote upon them? Pretty heavy word, dote upon them. Well, I might maybe give some of my time for the lost. I may head out with a group on Saturday mornings. Wonderful, wonderful opportunity and testimony. But would I say that I dote on the lost? Maybe for me that's a few stages ahead. That's not in the place that I am. But to give is to dote upon them. Considering if we dote upon our children, this situation here. So Daisy, go on here. Here we have the children. I think are they eating fried chicken? Maybe something a bit healthier. But imagine they're eating fried chicken. It was hard to find a picture of children eating fried chicken. I don't know why that is. I think it's the algorithm that says children shouldn't be eating fried chicken. Whereas when you're young, it really wouldn't matter if you had fried chicken, would it, so much? Because when you're old, you probably shouldn't eat so much fried chicken. Anyway, imagine this is fried chicken, but the children are eating in abundance from what it is because you love them. Not because you want to give them just enough that they can eat. It's because you dote upon them. And this is the way in which we are to take and the way we are to give. To take extravagantly, but to give not sparingly or out of our extravagance, but to give lovingly. Freely you have received, freely give. Do we love those that we are ministering to? Do we love those that we're reaching out to in terms of mission? Because that's the command that's given here. That's the context that's given. Moving on. The right provision I want to, and today is probably going to be a two-parter, as we look and consider the two aspects or the three aspects of what we're going to look at today. So I'm going to just want to focus today on the right provision. If we look in the passage, it says to go with no money, no bag, and no food. Then enter in. I want to illustrate that by, I don't know if you've found yourself waiting at the carousel when you've traveled on a plane, for example, for the bag, and eventually if you travel enough, you get sick of waiting for the bag and think, how can I compact everything down into a small bag that could take on the plane, and maybe can I go further and further? The instructions given here, and I want to finish on this particular aspect with a testimony, the instructions given here clearly are, when you go, provide neither gold nor silver, so no money, don't take a bag, and don't take a food, because again, you will be worthy of it. If you are going according to the instructions that are given here, then this is the outcome. You won't need to have money, bag or food, it will be provided for you. But it does say then to enter in. So it seems to be that the entering in is up to us and our waiting on the Lord. That's our responsibility. But once we get there, the worthiness, as it were, the worker being worthy of his food, the payback is then in the money, the food, and as it were, well, the bag wouldn't be needed necessarily. The reason I want to consider this is that the right provision in terms of no food, is just having the clothes that you stand up in. Now, I don't know if we ever considered, oh, there's a picture of the clothes we stood up in many years ago with the family, trying to find a picture of just, we were going on a holiday here, we didn't have anything with us, no bags, no food, just going. It's not something that we're used to doing. Here's a picture here of people, just ignore the bag that Steve has there, and Rachel for that matter. Pretend there's no bag there, hard to find a picture. Guys going down and saying, we are called, yes, it might be a temporary time, we're not sure necessarily how long it'll be, but we are called to go. It's our job to get ourselves there. When you enter in, no money, no bag, and no food. Just simply a person on their own. Maybe you've never considered travelling in that way. But I want to consider, I want to ask us to consider that that's actually the instructions that are given. And if I consider a testimony about what happened, is of course 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was going to give this message. And the reason I wanted to mention this particular message at this particular time is that following on from Waitangi, there was a group of evangelists who had a very fruitful time. I mentioned this in a testimony some weeks ago. All that was going on at Waitangi in terms of the Waitangi Day celebrations, there was also a lot going on spiritually. And an evangelist friend of mine had been led to go there following this principle. No money, no bag, no food. Went there and was considering the next stage and said, well, Lord, we have no money, no bag and no food. We've done the entering in. We haven't got enough money to get from Waitangi back to Wellington. And there was him and his wife, and they actually had an entourage of other ministers with them. No money. They'd done the entering in. So they're saying, Lord, what we do with this? How will we continue on in this particular situation? And they had a call from someone who said, I'd like you to come up to Kaikohe and to come up north. And they then have been travelling, or travelled rather, once from Waitangi to Kaikohe. It's quite a few hours trip, provided for them by people. And since they've been there, they've found a number of opportunities, and they have been there since Waitangi. We're now, 2 months after that. Ministry keeps on happening. So I said to him, what's going on there? What's happening? And he said that what we've found is, as we've applied the principles that I've mentioned here, that God has honoured this, and we are seeing fruitful ministry. We are seeing a number of folk coming to faith. So I wanted to mention this particular context and say, how would it be that we could have some folk here involved in that? Now, I was sick a few weeks ago, and if I'd done the normal thing, it would have been like, contact everyone ahead of time. Would you like to be part of this, etc.? Here's the travel, here's the accommodation, this is what you need to bring, this is the money, etc., etc., etc. But because I'd applied this particular principle, there was nothing to cancel. Yes, I know you pay slightly more for airfares closer to the time necessarily. And I want to pick this up next week or in a few weeks' time when we speak about the second half of a worthy worker. But understanding there is some wisdom here that is beyond our own earthly wisdom about the way in which we should travel. So as I close the first half of this message today, I want us to consider, how would we go if the Lord said, I want you to go and do something, and we follow the commandments that are given here with no bag, no money, and no food? because I believe a couple of things come out of this, and this is what I want to finish with today. Are we truly dependent on the Lord for, and we say in Him we live and move and have our being, is that the position that we hold, or is that the position that we state? Could be a wonderful example, a wonderful step into something that you may never have considered before. And when I finish the second half, I want to give opportunity for us to consider stepping into this particular aspect. So as we close today, I want us to consider how we would take this home and mull over this. No money, no bag, and no food. We've just looked at the first part of the three-part today. Consider yourself going when the opportunity comes, and you'll have a little bit of time to build up. It'll be a few weeks before I pick the second half up. Because there will be opportunities that are ongoing, but they won't be opportunities that'll be there if we say, I need to have money. I need to have lots of baggage, used in sometimes a negative sense, and I need to know where will the food be. As my friend said, sometimes the way the Lord provides food is to provide no food. Fasting happens. And we find ourselves called to a position where the Lord has graciously called us into a time of extended prayer, where the food won't be there, but He has provided what is needed for that particular mission. So could I ask us, until we look at the second half in a few weeks' time, consider what it would be to go away with no bag, no money, and no food. As an example, or not as an example, but as an instruction and a commission of how we might do ministry. Let's pray. Father God, as we consider how it is that You would cause us and want us to go out, it may be we say, that's for someone else. I need to eat. I need to have lots of different changes of everything, and I need to be super, super prepared. And as we understand, Lord, if we are going to have all those ducks in a row, there's lots of planning that has to take place, which often cuts us out of opportunities. Lord, not that we want to go in any way unplanned, because You, Lord, have planned this since the creation of time, but we ask that You would loosen up and help us to be beginning to be prepared in the way that a worthy worker is, to go out in that way, and trust that You will provide what is needed, not what we want. Lord, as I understand, those that have gone out sometimes have said, I need my 3 squares a day. And great, and that may happen, depending on who it is that's hosting us. But Father, begin to grow our faith in these areas. Begin to ask us to say, well, Lord, how is it that we could step into these areas? And let this not be for someone else back then or even now. How could this be if this applied to me? Thank You, Lord, that You call us worthy. You call us pivotal. You cause us to be, as it were, the hinge for those that may or may not come into the kingdom. And Lord, help us to understand as we consider this, what it is to love so much the lost that we are prepared to dote upon them generously for what You've given us. And lastly, pray for boldness as we step into the application of what that would look like for us.